Good afternoon. Thank you for waiting. Welcome to Banco Inter's conference call to discuss IQ 2021 earnings. Today we have the CEO of the bank, Mr. João Vitor Menin, the Vice President, Mr. Alexandre Rizzio de Oliveira, and the Finance and IR Officer, Helena Caldeira. This conference is being recorded, and all participants will be in listen-in mode only throughout the presentation by Banco Inter. We will then have a Q&A session, and more instructions will be provided. If you need any assistance throughout the call, please ask the operator for help by dialing *0. This conference is also being webcast live, and it can be accessed through ri.bancointer.com.br. A replay of this conference will be available right after it's finished. We remind you that webcast participants can register questions to Banco Inter through the website, and these questions will be answered after the conference is over by Banco Inter's IR team. This call has simultaneous translation into English provided to the foreign investors in this company. Before we proceed, I'd like to mention that forward-looking statements that may be made during this call regarding the company's business prospects as well as projections, operating and financial targets are based on the management's expectations about the future of the company as well as information that is currently available to Banco Inter. Future considerations are not an assurance of performance and they involve risks, uncertainty and premises. They refer to future events and therefore dependent on circumstances that may or may not occur. I'd like to give the floor to Mr. João Vitor Menin, CEO, and he will start the presentation. Mr. Menin, please, over to you. Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. It's a great pleasure to be with you again. We have an excellent audience rating in this call. We will continue with our usual script. I'll talk about the qualitative aspects, then Alexandre will go over the figures of quarter one, and these figures have been amazing, and then Helena will close and we move on to the Q&A session. I'd like to start with a philosophical or qualitative part by stressing an important, interesting point. We had our IPO 3 years ago, and the speech or the point of this IPO, for those who remember it, was about combining the best of both worlds. The world of banking, we had all the licenses, we had a credit portfolio, and the world of fintechs, of digital companies, of free and interesting, smooth experiences. And this led us to growth in these 3 years in terms of market value, current account holders, and so on and so forth. This quarter, for me, to be fair, with the previous quarter, Q4, well, the last two quarters, they have led to something I'd like to explain that's very, very interesting. And it is that it throughout these 3 years, we had that sweet spot, in other words, combining these two worlds. And in the last two quarters, more specifically in quarter one, 2021, we're again in a sweet spot. And why am I saying this? You will see that when Alexandre gives the numbers, it will be made clearer. But this means traditional banking and digital banking combined to wallet by commerce. So we have been delivered, we've struck a balance between our financial services, or the NII, and the monetization of healthy services. That's not the a bad fee, but it's the fee of marketplaces, of insurance, and other investment. So we can deliver monetization levels that are very good to our customers. And we're only the only ones that have this in Brazil today. When we think about the situation, it's the result of this sweet spot. So for the same situation that we had 3 years ago, and I think we're making the most of this situation. I can give you one example for about this combination. It may seem silly and not that easy to notice, but when you go to our web and you go to our shop, we've just launched a button. I may have mentioned this before to some investments and partners of ours. And this is the option of choosing if you want to make a purchase with cash back, which is a great attraction for us, or if you want to increase your credit limit of your card, if you want to buy something that exceeds your credit limits. It may seem silly. How does this button is related to our sweet spot? Well, this was the result of a lot of investing and innovation in our IT and business teams. It shows how Inter can combine all the banking aspects to the non-banking elements. So with this feature, which to me is the greatest star in the first 4 months of Inter, we have put out this unique feature. So we combined all the monetization of our financial services with our non-financial services, and by empowering our clients, this feature is making something that the market had asked us before we make this concrete. So can Inter do consumer finance or non-collateralized credit? Well, let me show you what we have delivered. When we look our numbers of in real estate credit and payroll credit, so the growth in collateralized credit is doing fine. We are aggressive in a good sense. We have portability that works really well. And now, as we launch our CDB, and maybe a quarter ago, we had over 1 billion reals allocated to this product. And now, more recently, with this option, this functionality or feature giving or providing more credit to credit cards, we'll now be building our history in consumer finance. So we're now reinventing consumer finance in Brazil. And this can only be done if you combine the world of banking and also the world of commerce. So all these two elements combined, and to make it work, it may seem simple. It's just a button that you can click on, that you can tap on, but you need a credit card processor, a shopping catalog, and limit engine with 11 million account holders. It's really hard to do this, but we're doing so fine, and I'm really excited about consumer finance, and I believe we will be able to reinvent this business and do great. Now, insisting on the new feature, how can we optimize the use of, exceeding the limits of people's cards, and also when people use the residual limit for a product or a service, for an air ticket, for instance, and they give up their cash back, we also improve our rate. And this, of course, improves our non-collateralized credit. And this was a question, how could we address this and also to improve our Netflix rate? As for innovation, again, this is about the past. We have over 11 million account holders, but now what lies ahead? We have our food delivery added. So all our customers living in the metropolitan region of the city of Belo Horizonte can access food delivery services. In other words, we have an iFood put into our app, so the inhabitants of Belo Horizonte can enjoy this feature and it will be rolled out to other towns, cities, and states. This is a process of innovation. We never stop innovating. We keep adding new features, and then we have more monetization. This is getting greater and greater. And Alexandre will go over the figures in a minute. Finally, I'd like to thank the employees. This is something I can't stress enough. And also our investors in these 3 years of since our IPO. And we think about how much we have grown. We had to roll on. So we've always had the support of our long-term investors, and the company could grow and add IT capabilities and keep innovating. So I'd like to thank our employees in these 3 years since the IPO, and also I'd like to thank our investors who've been with us since the very beginning, without whom we wouldn't have made such great achievements. Thank you very much. We'll be discussing these things later during the Q&A. Alexandre, over to you. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for attending to another earnings call by Inter. Let me go over the figures. Our first quarter was really exciting. The seasonality of this period has challenges. It's a shorter period, you have holidays, and you compare it to the previous quarter, quarter four, which is the best in the year. In spite of that, we have historical levels, both operationally and financially. So we have been through a period of not being a lone star. We have good numbers compared to quarter one 2020, as well as quarter four in 2022, which is usually the best quarter in a year. And this was achieved with an increasingly stronger and united team focusing on operating excellence. And this means a better experience and a better service provided to our customers. Now, the figures. Let's look at the highlights. I'll start with the growth of our customer base and engagement. We have reached 10.2 million. This was a growth of 106% year over year. And I'd like to stress that this, we also had new accounts in quarter one, 1.8 million against 1.3 million in quarter four. So in up 40% almost in the opening of accounts this quarter, which was much more than we had expected. We were really happy with these results. The cost of customer acquisition was under control. We boosted marketing and we had great results. Our IT cost, we had this trajectory of reduction, and this was our goal. So we reached 122 reals a year, although in spite of continuous investment in the business and the platform. Another two highlights. Our CFI 3.21, a 5% growth in this quarter. And our users, active users, their behavior was even better, the best historically speaking. We grew about 2 percentage points in this quarter compared to the more recent and older ones. And we had a great NPS, 82 in April, and our NPS has improved, reaching 84. We had a great performance, 174% growth in, as compared to, well, year over year, the average balance, 1,300 as compared to 1,000. And the first quarter is a quarter where you have less balance. The transaction volume in cards was very good, 7.6 billion, 173% growth, and we're still growing on this avenue, which is the result of the improvements we have made over time. Now, Intershop and Marketplace, we did something that was very unusual in retail. We have overcome the results in quarter four. 675 NB, exponential growth year over year. 1,600%, 1.7 million active clients. That's what we achieved. And only in quarter one, we had 1,100,000 clients. In other words, we have recapped the levels and we keep innovating this. The success of this avenue has, of course, meant ongoing evolution. So we have promising projects and end-to-end, which is the new sales, we into 200 SKUs. And finally, we have overcome 40 million in revenue. It was the first time we exceeded 40 million in revenue investment. In quarter one, we had 52. We reached 1.5 million active customers and 170,000 clients with shares under custody. And this has helped in quarter one, 2021, but it will be even more important when we look ahead. So we launched direct treasury on our app. Before, it was more complicated to deliver this to clients. We launched our content platforms and many other features, including improved investment procedures. So depending on the volume, we get up to 100% in cashback or rebate in fund emissions issuing. And we got 15 million as compared to 10.7 year over year. We have hit new records, 377,000 people insured, and we kept generating revenue, not only for the insurance business, but over 9 million in quarter one with a revenue base that is extremely resilient, growing out of proportion because we are delivering products that have a greater margin. And although we are reaping the benefits, there's much more to be made. We also have our healthcare product being launched and also sales efforts that have been all around and explaining our success. Finally, our credit avenue is maybe the greatest highlight as growth has been really resilient in this area. And we had a historical basis that was really relevant before. But our strategy seems to be consolidating increasingly. We got 51% in origination of real estate credit for account holders. And this was a challenge and something that people demanded from us, from market analysts. We wanted this space to be profitable to credit, and this is now taking place. And this is really good. And we keep our competitiveness as a retail bank too. So a good part of the factor that led to this growth in credit is expand. We had a growth of 97.1%. And finally, we made this credit grow. And this is something we should comment. This credit grew in credit. And what's the good part? It reduces negative surprises over time. Finally, financial results. We grew 95% total revenues as compared year over year, 142 million in this quarter, and 113% as compared to quarter one. And finally, we have being over 40% of the total revenues. Finally, we closed the quarter with 22 million, and the Basel was 24%. The Basel rate or index shows our ability to grow and leverage our balance. So I would like to close by thanking our customers and our team, who's increasingly more united with this focus of simplifying people's lives. I'll now turn it over to Elena. Thank you. Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for attending another earnings call. As João Vitor said, this is a very special conference call. This is our three-year anniversary of our IPO. So to add to the celebration, we had now have the Bovespa Index. So it's a great landmark for all companies, public companies in Brazil. We're also part of the IBRX and MSI. And this is a great landmark as well. We're still celebrating because yesterday we disclosed our first annual report showing our performance. We followed the best international practices of the Global Reporting Initiative, GRI, which has been adopted by KPMG and also part of the 2030 agenda. This report may be accessed on our IR website, and also for those who are following us on the web. In the second slide, we have a QR code with details to provide access to the report. Now, how did we develop or write this report? Transparency and inclusion are very important values to us, and this is how we developed this report. We went deeper into our model interfaces, our financial, environmental, social, and governance pillars, and that's how we adapt ESG to our purposes. We try to disclose that information in the most inclusive way possible. And we try to help everyone to learn more about the concepts and initiatives so that things are really clear for everyone. In addition, we wrote a description of how we generate value from these pillars and also added information on risk management and how technology sustains this, our business model and our growth model. Now, for a different topic, we had the split of our shares was approved in our last ordinary meeting, so we're waiting for the central bank to for us to communicate to the market. We're waiting for the share split to be made official totally and executed. And some of the people really ask is about our restructuring process. We're working both internationally and locally to reach the best format and structure, and then communicate to the market, making sure we address all the points. So as soon as we close this model, we'll show that, share that with the market. So adding more information on this point. Finally, I'd like to thank our shareholders in this great partnership we've had with the market in these 3 years. It has been really significant growth for the company to have this relationship also with our employees. I'm really happy to be celebrating these 3 years with you today. So I'll now close and we will move on to the Q&A session. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now start our Q&A session. In order to ask a question, please dial star 1. To remove the question from the list, please press star 2. Our first question comes from Eduardo Hosman of BTG Pactual. Good afternoon, everyone. Congratulations on your achievements. I have two questions. The first is about securitization, removing credit from the balance. I think João talked about this in the last call. So removing some of the risk from balance and distributing it. So how are you doing in this respect? And what can we expect from the first transactions? That's question number one. Question number two. Can you talk about the app for non-account holders? When will that start? I think João has also given an interview on this a few weeks ago, right? And he mentioned 20 million accounts, and one part would come from non-banking or non-account holders. Can you update? Give us an update on this process. What are your expectations? Thank you. Thank you, Hosman. Securitization. Yes, we have the first securitization. It's being structured. We want this with our real estate portfolio. It's easier to do. So we're just making the most of people's appetite for buying a real estate credit. And we have two important deliverables. We will have a lighter balance. We're not thinking about Inter's balance of 11 million in credit. We're talking about greater origination. So we won't want a balance to have hundreds of million in credit. That doesn't make sense. We want our balance. We want our good assets to be securitized without not being collateralized. We want them to be securitized, and we also deliver very good products with very good yield rates, especially now in the current financial situation, and even with this, with the Selic being lower, investors want better structured products that are easier to buy. So securitizing our portfolio is good. We get lighter, and we can use products that are simple to buy on our app. So that's a very good idea. So this project is ready, and it will take place as soon as possible. It's not an isolated project, by the way. We want to be an issuer of securitization like almost every week or every fortnight. I remember that we had Brazilian Securities, and they securitized every fortnight. So this is the first for the first part of your question. Number two, about the app for non-account holders. Well, unfortunately, if this conference call were to take place in 10 days, it would have already been launched. So this is just to give you an idea that maybe in the next 10 days, we will launch it. Well, it will start on Android, and later it will be launched for iOS, with a time gap of about 2 weeks from Android to iOS. We wanted to do this in mid-April, but we're really careful. This is a major change. We don't want to impact the experience of our users. We want to make sure that their experience remains smooth. But I'm really excited for you to understand the maths behind it. We have 90,000 downloads a day. That's of our app. It's downloaded 90,000 times a day. And about 40,000 full data that we get for these 30,000 account holders. So I believe that if you have a full checking account, we can capture that for non-account holders on the app. So it's simpler. They can use our insurance platform, our Intercell. So when we think about our maths, when we think about that dream that we had of 20 million clients, 60 million account holders, and 4 million non-account holders, the idea is to capture we'll have about 7-8 months and after launch, and we want to capture 50% or 40% of this surplus that doesn't convert. So we may have significant change with a large number of millions of clients added. So our dream of 20 million customers is on. And we're expecting to have this launched in 10 days for Android users. So individuals that are already customers, they won't even notice it. But those that are downloading the app for the first time, they will have a different experience. So I'm really excited about this. And it will really change our market. Let's just keep an eye on this. You can follow it up and see how it will evolve in the next few days. Right, great, thank you. Thanks again. The next question comes from Otavio Tanganelli, Bradesco BBI. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for taking my question and congrats. I also have two questions. The first is about cost to serve. I saw there was this decrease quarterly and annually. So what do you think can be done to bring this number down, to have more operating leverage as revenue grows? The second question, and this was part of Hosman's question too. On the platform, the exposure that you would like to have for non-account holders, does that involve anything related to credit operations, some card, prepaid card or not? Or will it just be an app without much balance risk for shopping and investment? Thank you. Well, thank you for your, Tanganelli, thank you. Thank you, Tanganelli, for your question. I think that this efficiency, operating leverage you've mentioned, although there's always the point of inflection, and it's been taking place for a few quarters. Even if we grew a lot in new customers, we have an ARPU that's stable and strong growth in the cost to serve, which you've mentioned. So operating leverage is a combination of these two elements. The two acronyms, CPF and ARPU. We need to improve ARPU and the cost to serve, C2S. So the cost to serve, what's the point here? There's something great for us to think when you consider modeling. There are two elements. First, the faster we grow, the more expenses we have to make. And CAC or CAC also means more expenses. Even underwriting, when you originate more credit, there are more expenses, operating expenses, provision expenses. It's really heavy. So let me explain what I think is going on. We have improved our nominal growth in the number of account holders, but we are decreasing our margin. So would consider break it down into direct and indirect. Direct expenses grow less and they drag down the cost to serve. So this dilution of our indirect costs is very positive. And then there's this other point, which is technological / regulatory, like with PIX. PIX has been improving our numbers dramatically. When we look, we'll have this public hearing about the customer service PIX and change also to remove money from circulation. I see the CDS in very good lights in terms of regulatory and technology innovation and the number of customers. And the ARPU, what Alexandre mentioned before, the, of over 3.2, it's now 3.5 almost. So we will have more operating leverage even if there's this growth of account holders. In terms of the app, well, in this case, Tanganelli, the first focus, when you use the expression low-hanging fruit, let's use what we have, our shopping, our insurance, and then we may add new features. What other investment can be offered for non-account holders? What can be done? As you said, can I launch a prepaid card? I don't know. This can be done, or can I offer credit? Like, we have our consortium, a sort of a way of providing credit. So we can explore this for all Brazilians, not only for our 11 million account holders. So one thing is having a flow of people on your app, and then you use your data intelligence to sell more services, and this may include credit services that are not on our in our balance. So it's not one of our first short-term deliveries. It's not there. Let's be on the same page. We're talking about what we already have, like our shopping, our insurance, maybe something on investment, and this other parts, Intercell and consortia and everything. It won't, not yet. Very, very clear, João. Thank you. Our next question comes from Yuri Fernandes, JP Morgan. Thank you, everyone. Good morning, João. Congrats on your growth. My question is about credit portfolio. So we see good prospect with the product. SMI is the only one that is accelerating quarter over quarter. So I need to know more about your expectation for the year in terms of portfolio growth and in terms of capital as well. I don't know if this is a problem to you, but as we think about volumes, what are your expectations? My second question is about deposits. We saw some speeding up in some lines, savings, and growth year over year, and even this 5% growth quarter over quarter, it seems to be good, but the market was expecting more. So, in terms of deposits, what has taken place? Does this mean an increase in your customer base that led to a drop in your balance to clients, customers, or is this about the feature, the functionality? Well, how could we think about this average balance per client in customer in deposits? Okay, Yuri, I'll start with your last question. This is a relatively recent topic we discussed with our chief economist, Ms. Vitória. Not that recent. It was at the beginning of the year, she said. You can expect reduction in deposits. This is how the economy works. In quarter one, it usually takes place, but our scale is so large, so we know how the Brazilian economy works. When you are small, you may have some specific situation, but that's not our case anymore. So we always respond to the general trend. So it is seasonal, indeed. We don't see fewer people using deposits or customers that are less engaged. It's all about the seasonality. So what I'm trying to say is that I believe our quarter two will be, even if quarter one was good, the second quarter will be even better in terms of deposits. It's just about seasonality. And as our chief economist said, that's about deposits. Now, when you compare deposits and the number of customers with some digital portfolios and some apps, you see that our performance is much better. They're more engaged and they use us as a private account for deposits. Now, credit growth, that's also something that is related to seasonality, and SME has to do with seasonality too. We're not waiting for this to cool down, just the opposite. It goes well with our deposits, short-term deposits. So we have helped a lot of people in LM. We've been growing well, and we're also putting up our origination in rural or farming. We have a good product there, so we're not expecting any reduction in SME. As for credit growth, I believe, will still be growing on the levels we have seen in the last quarter, 60-80% a year. You can't grow. Can you grow this much? Yes, you can. Can you grow with quality? Yes, you can. So these the two major portfolios we have in Brazil, credit portfolios, are real estate and payroll. And these are the products we master at Inter. We have the most experience in origination. When you consider our current account holders, it's really strong in both real estate and payroll credit. It's like when you go to the zoo. I mean, we have a good brand to explore, and we use data a lot. This is something that, of course, it can always be improved, and we're expecting strong credit growth. And we're being really aggressive in the best sense of the word. We're making the most of these opportunities, and we have been provided portability. Our account holders, for instance, if they have payroll credit in other banks, they can use portability to bring it to our bank. And the impact of our NII or our financial margins. Wonderful. Thank you very much, Juan, for your answers. Our next question comes from Pedro Leduc, Itaú BBA. Good afternoon, everyone. Congratulations on your earnings. Thank you for taking my question. Now, with regards to ARPU, or revenue per customer, it's been growing year over year. Very good, especially when you have this loss fall in OPEC. Now, if you look at it quarter over quarter, there was this decrease in the service, not credit, but there was this decrease in the service. Some fee services have decreased quarter over quarter. I have some suspicions, some ideas, but I'd like to listen from you. Why do you think this decrease has happened quarter over quarter, and what we should expect for the next quarters? This is my first question. Well, Pedro, thank you. Again, let's discuss your suspicion or ideas. And we discussed this extensively as we were preparing a report. And there's always this issue of the denominator. This was the quarter in which we probably added the most account holders, historically speaking. And even in Q4 2020, we had a great quarter, but now there was this decrease, and we have to keep the same level of engagement we had before. So if we grow more, will we have the same engagement level? Of course, we need it, and we need to recover it. So when we look at those quarters, as we said, that figure that had like a ladder, we have been increasing engagement levels quarter over quarter. So we're expecting this quarter that should be really productive and good in terms of new account holders. We're expecting it to, I mean, the result is that we will keep improving our ARPU from now on. In other words, we don't see things decreasing or getting worse. We had amazing shopping results. When we compare e-commerce in Brazil, LP2W and Magalu, they've been falling, and we have been growing in sales of MV. Insurance has also been fantastic. And to be fair, our investment platform didn't do as much as expected. We've been investing in this to achieve what we have achieved, but we didn't have as much as we expected. We were expecting to have a great performance level in 2021. In other words, we're really comfortable with this decrease in the quarterly ARPU. Well, in addition, there was a contraction in credit, although there was strong origination in quarter over quarter. So you keep working on this? Yes, exactly, Pedro. This is, in terms of credit, the dynamic is also a market dynamic. You need to consider opportunities. It's not worrisome and not even relevant. I agree. We can discuss my suspicions later on. João, can I ask a second question? Intershop, GMV, quarter to quarter, in spite of its seasonality. Can you explain if there was any new partner? Was this a result of more engagement? Your take rate, gross take rate, was stable, and your net take rate increased almost 10 times. So was that a result of the sales profiles? Did you negotiate it better to improve this in cashback? Thank you. Well, Pedro, we've been insisting on this, right, with our analysts and investors. The Intershop dynamic, one thing we tend to forget about it is that our vertical, it's been there for a year and 4 months. It's like it's in its infancy. So I think there's a combination of factors. We have new, bringing in new partners in end-to-end where people check out inside our app. That helps improve the take rate. They don't see the difference. They have much better conversion rate. So they end up paying a greater take rate. We also have a combination of services with greater take rates. So there's no silver bullet. We have been improving. That's it. And in terms of engagement, the number of shopping users has been growing significantly. People are now learning about this feature. And again, this was the greatest deliverable this quarter. It's not only it's not quantitative so far, it's qualitative when we consider people that have problems in credit limit. If they can choose and convert some purchase that they couldn't make if we didn't have this feature, I believe we will improve our GMV because people will be able to buy and improve their net take rate because people won't have their cash back and they just extend their credit limit. I can give you a number to give you an idea. Considering the GMV we've had so far, only 25% of people spent in GMV is beyond their limit. So the person had 2,000 reals, they had 1,500, spent 1,500, and they had just 500, and they wanted to buy something that cost 750, so they spent 500. That's already part, that's for them. So only 250 was the part that exceeded the limit, so it was some more less. So the net take rate in this purchase was much better. It was 100% of the gross take rate. So this point of the limit will help a lot in the net take rate. Thank you, and congratulations again. Our next question comes from Jörg Friedman, Citibank. Thank you for taking my question. Can you hear me well? Yes, you're great, Jörg. I can hear you fine. Right. Well, I have some brief questions. The first one is a bit more complicated. It's more strategic. Let me know if I'm interpreting this in the right way. Yesterday, you announced that you were offering insurance for real estate credit, and in terms of product, the partnership with Liberty, it didn't include exclusivity, or you had two service providers. Now, did you have flexibility in this? I need to understand this better. Has anything changed in your partnership with Liberty? And then I'll have two other questions that will concern figures. Oh, Jorgen, it's really straightforward. We have exclusivity with Liberty for some products that Liberty wants to explore. So for SSH or other products, Liberty doesn't have it. So we used to work with Sund. So we really wanted to have a better partnership, Sonov, with a good they're the, our major partner. So it doesn't, our partnership with Liberty goes on, our dental with Liberty, it's the same example. So everything we can explore on our counter for technical reasons, pricing, appetite, if Liberty doesn't want to explore it, we can do it with other insurers. Let's move on to your next questions. Perfect, very good. The other two questions are rather straightforward. I need to understand your results. You had significant increases, over 87 million in the quarter. I need to understand why this happened. And number two, in the last two quarters, the percentage of the CDI and cost of the exchange rate, it has stabilized and increased even. Does this have to do with greater payments of compulsory payments, or as a percentage of the CDI? Okay, you've known us for a long time. We have a limit, and we won't be decreasing this forever. We need to consider the time frames. We have an LM to address. Even with securitization, as I explained to Hosman, we will have this with LM, and I believe we are the ceiling of our funding costs, the floor of our funding cost, and then we have IPCA. So you have IPCA that pulls our costs, and then it increases the profitability of our cash allocated in IPNB. So as we have a few LC, there was a greater increase in the cost and very good securities results because we have this robust cash. Even if our credit grows, our deposits, time deposits, and direct deposits have grown. So with the inflation rate and Selic, we are, in spite of that, we have been benefiting. And we have stronger more strength than before. And even if you take that question of yours, Jorg, we have grown really well in terms of products and customers without cash burning, with a very tight Selic rate. This was painful to us. Our cash, for instance, the profitability was very low. Now, of course, we like the inflation to be under control in Brazil, but this increase in the inflation rate and Selic rate, this is positive for us. We have some tailwind now that will help, as you said, in our securities. And before, it was not only a tailwind, it was crosswind that blew against us. So now with the higher inflation rate and the higher Selic rate, things are like this. Thank you. In the interest of time, we will now close the conference call, and the investor relations department will be at your disposal to answer your questions. We will now close the Q&A session. I'd like now to turn it over to Mr. João Vitor Menin for his final remarks. Mr. João Vitor Menin, over to you. Well, I'll be really brief. I'd like to thank everyone for attending, the questions from our analysts. And Helena is at your disposal for the questions that were not answered. So have a great day. See you in our next conference. Thank you. Banco Inter's conference call is now closed. Thank you, everyone, for attending. Have a great afternoon.